Tell us when, Daryl.
You're all set to start.
Okay. All right, I'd like to call this meeting to order, and I'm going to ask that if, even if you're not on the committee, you're more than welcome to speak, but let's have a person just speak their name before they say something, and I'll call on them to go ahead.
Sounds good.
All right, then you want to go ahead with the attendance roll call? Yeah, first agenda item is, it's going to be who we have on the call. Okay, I'm going to start with the committee first. Brandy? Yep. Chad? Chad's not here. Is Steve here? Steve Hillier? Yeah, yeah, he's here. Yes. Okay, Shelly? Yes. Okay, Dave Pelagi?
I'm here.
Okay. We already know that Frank is here. Angel? Not here. Amos?
Here.
Okay, Amos is there. Okay, just for the record right now, we have five committee members and an alternate. Going down.
Chad, did you call in?
I called Chad. I didn't hear an answer.
But we've had several calls since.
Angel Torres online.
Pardon?
I'll ask for anybody I didn't call at the end.
Okay.
Jeremy Bailey?
Here.
Okay. Rich Racha?
I'm here.
Ken Clark? No. Charles Cody? Desiree DeJesus? Keith DeLeo? Yolanda Dope? Adam Fairbanks? Carmela Ferreira? Tony Ford? Keith Haley?
Here.
Keith is here? Keith, was that a yes?
Who?
E. Haley. I didn't hear him. Okay, Michael Heaney?
Yes, Keith Haley's here. I muted myself, sorry.
Okay.
Keith
Haley. Okay, Barbara Miller?
Here.
Okay, Lloyd Montague? Toby Ramirez?
Here.
Ken Ramsey? Ellen Schreiner? D.G. Yanez Hamburger? Okay, as far as staff, we know Brian is here. Nick Fianza?
Here.
Tracy? Andrew, you're here?
Yeah.
Jordan, yes. Andrew and I, Sir Tracy.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I'm here. Terrell.
I'm here.
David Walsh.
Present.
Joel Garcia.
Here.
Yeah. Okay, is there anybody who I have not called on the line?
Ed Angel Torres.
Okay, gotcha. Another committee member present. All right.
Okay, so we clearly have a quorum. And this meeting was requested by the committee specifically to talk about what funds, incentives, and reliefs might be available for the operators under these very unusual circumstances. So, Frank, I guess I would ask you how you wish to proceed with the discussion or the meeting.
Just wanted to follow up to see any recommendations of filing for filing to unemployment to any funds found for release for the operators to get to unemployment, because when we're talking about the colleges, it's probably a good 12 weeks before they'll see that first check. So
Ed, can you give an update on at least what our efforts have been in regards to seeking an answer from Department of Labor on the unemployment?
As far as the unemployment, we've been checking the website. We've been told that there is another form forthcoming for those that are self-employed. It says that the Labor Department, because up till now, self-employed people had not been eligible for unemployment, but the new stimulus package that the president signed includes self-employed. So on their website, as a matter of fact, just checking this afternoon, they say that they're still going over what the federal law is, and they should have something forthcoming, which will be retroactive once it's put up on the website.
Go ahead, Frank.
Are we assuming that the few operators that have filled out an unemployment form, that's the generic form, it's not going to do anything for them? Is that what we're going to assume?
I don't know that, this is Brian, I don't know that we can assume one way or another. The only thing that shows up on the DOL website is what Ed just said, which is they're in the process of going through, understanding how the new law that got passed will roll out from unemployment benefits for people that are self-employed. I did go on and actually open up the unemployment form for individuals, and I did see on that form there is a spot where it says employer, and then there's a question further down that says, are you self-employed? So I really don't know what would occur if somebody filled out current unemployment form and chose the box that said self-employed.
Hold on. Is somebody outside that can just hit *6 to mute their phone?
Ben?
Yeah.
Frank, it's Keith Haley. I have a comment when it's available.
Okay, go ahead, Keith.
I did fill out the unemployment form. Last week, this week, I don't know if days are getting confused, but I was waiting for direction from the National Association of Blind Merchants, which some of us were on a call last week or the week before, regarding SSDI and unemployment. And I was waiting to hear if one was going to cancel the other, and the answer there was no. You're able to still take SSDI if you have it, and unemployment. So I waited for that, okay, and then I went ahead and filed it just like the state's telling you to do. They said those who are self-employed, can file unemployment. So taking that knowledge, I went with it. I did hear, and there is something on the website today that says there will be a self-employed form as of April 30th. I figured it can't hurt to be do both, and in a way, play dumb. So I filled out the form, just like they said we could, and correct, Brian, there is a question on there that says, are you self-employed? Of course, I checked yes. And then another page, one or two pages later, it asked you again who your employer was. And the name of my cafeteria is 450 Grill. So I wrote under employer, I wrote self-employed-450 Grill. So that's how I filled my form out, and I'm sitting now just waiting. I'm not expecting to hear anything soon, but that's as far as I've gotten. I did not receive any emails, but I'm going to do both. I'll do this part, see what that gets me, and if there's a self-employed form that comes out by April 30th, I'll fill that out. They're not really giving us many answers. I read the Senator Chris Murphy's emails I get daily. Len Fasano, I believe, is a state representative. I get his emails, and I just try to stay abreast of it for myself and for all of us. It's generic information right now. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of answers. That's why I think Frank was maybe checking with the agency to see if they heard something differently. But that's all I got on my behalf of what I've done so far. So back to you, Frank.
Hi, this is Shelley. What I understand that what everyone is saying was filling out the form. It was stated in one of the news conferences by the commission of DOL that they'd like for people, not to bother with the initial stage because the way unemployment's usually set up, employers pay in. We haven't paid in, so they have no way of determining how we're going to get paid if and when they actually, as they decide to release the funds for the self-employed. So they're figuring a way how to do that. The secondary form that's out there now saying to come out on the 30th, that's probably in anticipation of what's going on. So I don't think it hurts to do it right now, the one that's out, but chances are, give or take, 50-50. They may just disregard that, and the newer one is what they're going to go with. So at least to even put yourself in queue, I would fill the form out that's out there now. Even though, like Keith said, you're really probably not going to hear anything because they're just going to deal with the people right now who are actually on the books from our end. But for ourselves, I would just fill it out. Put your name out there in queue and see what happens. And when the 30th comes, they may scratch that or they may actually keep it. You may be in queue for moving forward. But for right now, the commissioner did say, don't even bother with the form, because I passed on the information to people that I know also who are self-employed who are not working. And as soon as I told them that, it came out, just leave it be, give them time to work out the new way that they're going to implement this whole thing so they could disperse funds.
I agree.
Well, this is Dave Black. I'd like to say something.
That's good.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, who's speaking? Yeah, okay. I applied March 31st for unemployment, and I just got from Department of Labor today in my email that I'm going to be put in a program. It's a six-week program. It's called Layoff Vacation Shutdown Program, which I'll be getting something because they told me, I'm going to get through my direct deposit. And if you don't return to work in 6 weeks, then you move on to filing for unemployment. So I'm going to see how that works. I haven't got anything yet, but I did get an email today.
See, it's ever-changing. This is Shelly again. Sorry. Every day, it's always something new. So I don't know.
This is Joelle. Is anybody actually collecting unemployment at this point? No.
I wouldn't think so, because it's a new provision. It's built in by the stimulus law that was passed. And when you go to the DOL website, they literally say, please be patient. We're going through the law. We're in the process of developing the form. I had not seen the date that they're now saying it'll be.
Yeah, so it's basically giving people the opportunity to go and check it, but it's not actually giving them any information based off of anything after that. Correct?
Yeah, that's what I mean from it, which is why I went and looked at the actual form, and Keith saw the same thing I saw in terms of there is a spot that put that. So I don't really have any good advice one way or the other, because what I go by is what labor is posting, which is give us time to sort through.
This is Andrew Norton. Just for context, for a friend, I checked the Massachusetts website, and it says the same thing. Yup, the federal law allows for business owners to file unemployment claims for themselves, but we're not ready. We don't have the form. Keep checking in.
This is Brandy. I was on the call the other night with the National Federation. There was a lot, this is all that they talked about, was this situation, and they have all been recommended the same thing, not to file unemployment until the proper form comes out, because if you file regular unemployment and not the special unemployment, it could actually affect if you have SSI, not SSDI, but SSI, which is, you know, the one that changes monthly. If you claim regular unemployment and not through the special program designed for us, that can mess with your SSI, as well as you could end up not getting as much as you should get by applying for the wrong thing. And so out of the, like, 18 states that spoke up, they've all been advised and are advising to wait for the proper form to file for unemployment, because we do reside in such a special situation overall. They also had a lot to say about what they're doing for their operators in regards to this, the programs they're doing for operators, and what other operators are doing in general. And one person had applied for and did get declined for the federal small business loan, and was told it was because he belonged to another agency that he could, he belonged to another federal and state agency that could provide assistance. So he kind of was put on a waiting list of sorts, like you don't qualify right now, but you might qualify down the road for the federal system. So that doesn't look like it's going to be very beneficial to us either. I mean, it could be, but as of right now, it is not.
This is Joelle. So at this point, we might be able to have the opportunity to tell them, like, it's not actually happening at this point, but it could happen down the road.
Yeah, because they said to him, at
okay.
this time, you don't qualify for the federal small business loan due to your association with other local and state and federal agencies, but that could change. So
how would they know? Because the biggest thing that the biggest thing that I've been having from all of my contacts at this point, they're asking, like, when and in which way would they be able to get that? And, like, I would love to be able to let them know, like, hey, you know, at this point, like, you know, if you end up filing, if you end up doing all your paperwork, everything that goes along with it, you know, hopefully it'll be at that point. But if it's going to be something that's going to be through longevity, you might have to wait for it.
Yeah, like this is for the federal small business loans that they're offering.
Yeah.
Right now, technically, BSBY operators, this was a guy from Illinois speaking. He didn't qualify, and was given, and the way it was worded was he doesn't qualify because he has other state and federal agencies that he can look to for assistance.
So he had other avenues to be able to look through, as opposed to.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah,
because we have BSBY offers all of us when we initially start up, we get that initial inventory loan that we get. So the idea is that if it came to it, that we could all, you know, they're saying we can take money from BSBY, so they're not going to give us money right now. They have to wait. The way it looks is like BSBY would have to apply for the loan for all of us.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Is there a way to be able to let them know that whether their avenue in which you're going is not necessarily the right way? Or is there a way to be able to, like, give them the opportunity to navigate through that whole aspect? And, like, instead of them having to go through the whole hoops, is there a way that we can, like, streamline?
This was a gentleman from Illinois on the call who seemed to be very knowledgeable, and everybody seemed to know who he was, and he had a lot of insight, and it said, again, he had applied for the federal loan and it didn't work out. That the unemployment, he had been, you know, they had suggested they wait for this form. But in regards to unemployment, most of my employees right now are receiving unemployment benefits. They filed on March 16th. Most of them are receiving this. Three of them have to do mail hearings, but my employees are being taken care of by the state and the government. We're just not. So, and it seems to be throughout the country, other BSBY programs are having the same situation, although several BSBY programs on the call have made allocations for their operators and have done something to help their operators out, and also offered up some ideas, ways and places that we could maybe look for money to help all of us out as well.
Oh, I have done, this is Brian, and I have done some research in that regard and have some information that I can provide if you folks want. I just did, before I get to that portion, wanted to be sure, as I know some of you are receiving this information directly. Ed did send out some stuff. Linchpin Strategies, Katrina McDonald, did do a very nice summary document, which we sent to all of you, on the various incentives. Now, she works as a consultant for National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, and so what she put out there was very specific to vending facility operators under the Randolph Shepherd program. And so if you haven't had a chance to review it, I'm sure you know that there is a delay of payroll taxes. Payment of payroll taxes for all businesses of any size is delayed without penalty unless an employer is taking advantage of the Small Business Administration loans. So this is in her document, and I just, again, I want to call your attention to the very nice summary she did. Now, I did reach out to the federal government, the Rehab Services Administration, ask about vacation pay, because we are aware that there are some states that were able to do something about. So I did have Andrew look at our federal and state regulations as well as our state statute, and I had RSA, Rehab Services Administration, look at both as well. Clearly, there's no question that the federal regulations do have a provision for vacation pay using the federal monies that come from the unassigned federal vending machine income. Our state statute does allow for the use of unassigned state vending machine, state and municipal vending. Somebody's scratching something and it's making a tremendous amount of noise. So if you could mute your phone, *6, if you're not speaking, then everybody else would be able to hear. Thank you. So our state statute for the unassigned state municipal vending machine income to be used for fringe benefits and also for support. So looking at those two provisions, vacation pay can be typically seen as a fringe benefit. I know for like state employees, that's considered one of our benefits. And it also can be seen as support. So one of the things that I was looking at was whether or not we'd be in a position to do something. And as you know, the budget that the Business Enterprise Program has is heavily reliant on income from vending machines from unassigned locations, unassigned meaning a location that there isn't a vending facility operator there. But as so many businesses are shut down, schools, town buildings, state buildings, all of these locations where vending machines are, it's not so easy for people to gain access to them at the moment. So we're anticipating, when I see the next quarterly report, which I'm hoping to see within the next few days, that I am anticipating that the vending program is going to be seeing a decrease in its own earnings. But nonetheless, wanting to be able to do something to help you all, we have been looking very diligently at what numbers are and what we feel might be a logical approach. One thing I have to say up front is the regulations are very clear in regards to how this would have to be decided. And to get the email on the screen, it does say right in our state regulations, and it's also in the federal regulations on vending machine income, it says the board, which is us, will be guided by a majority vote of licensed vendors after each vendor has been furnished information on all matters relevant to the determination of the use of such vending machine income for insurance contributions, vacation pay, or retirement contributions. So way back when, the decision for the vacation pay was that we would provide a vending facility operator to anyone who asked for one full week's vacation. So you could take a week off and the vending facility operator would cover that week for you. If you want to make a change where you're looking to do something different this year as a result of the COVID-19, it isn't just the committee that has to make that decision. The committee will make the recommendation. You'll vote on whatever your recommendation is, and then it has to go out to every single vendor, and they have to then vote, and you will be guided by the majority vote, because that's in the regulations. So let me just tell you all what we were looking at. It looks to me, presuming that the Voc Rehab budget is going to have some available funding, and I really believe it will, because so many of the community providers are shut down right now. You know, there's probably going to be available dollars in the vocational rehab program. Ed has identified about $42,000 of charges that were put against the business enterprise fund that could potentially be reversed and put into the Voc Rehab fund. Very legitimate to do that. It's a budget adjustment. So it looks like we might have that sum of money so that anything we look at wouldn't necessarily make the business enterprise program budget be that much more strained than where it is now. So looking at that premise, we looked at the weekly earnings of all 27 operators, and we did that by taking the income that you all reported for the federal fiscal year that would have allowed us to report that on the RSA 15 federal report. So we have that information of what each operator earned. So the 27 operators, collectively, those operators, when you divide their total earnings by 52 weeks, it would cost $26,792 to pay each operator what the equivalent of 1 week's worth of earnings was for last year. Now, only 26 of the operators would get something because one of the operators had no earnings. And just to tell you, if we use that model, the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sorry, folks. If we use that model, then one operator would get over $7,000. One operator would only get $77. 15 of the operators would get less than $500. So using a model that says, if your location made whatever, $7,000 a week, you would get $7,000. If your location made $77 a week last year, you would get $77. So look, and one operator would get nothing. So looking at that model, it does appear a bit askew, because from the standpoint of groceries, whether that operator made $7,000 a week or $77 a week, we do know that the cost of paper towels is going to be the same, and they all need paper towels. So then what I decided to do was to look at, well, what is the value of a field representative? Because when we provide you with a field representative so you can take a week's vacation time, you are basically getting that same field representative whether you made $7,000 a week or $77 a week. So that might be a more equalized figure to look at, because this year we know you're closed, so there's no field rep to put at a location because your location isn't open. So if we looked at what a field representative's salary is, looking at the beginning field rep salary, since, you know, basically all of our field reps are relatively new, it's around figures, it's about $63,000 for a year divided by 52. It comes out to $1,211 or 1 week. So the equivalent of having a field rep cover each vacation for everybody is $1,211. And that's a possible approach if you all wanted to consider that approach, or if you wanted to consider the other approach. But again, keeping in mind that whatever you decide upon, it would be something that the full membership, not just the committee, has to vote on. So those are just two ideas of what I have looked at. So I just want you all to also know the federal unassigned vending income, that account which Ed uses first before he uses the state unassigned vending to pay for fringe benefits like your health insurance.
Yeah.
Right? There's only $6,265 in it. So the remainder of that would have to come from the unassigned state money. So if you were looking at $1,211 spread across. Oh, please mute your phone.
Please.
Or six to mute. If you're looking at spreading the basically that 1 week prep to that. Again, somebody's scratching their phone. You've got to mute your phone if you're not going to be speaking, because it's making it very hard for other people to hear. It just was done again. So whoever you are, you just did it again. Please mute your phone. Thank you. So what you're looking at, if we were to take that dollar figure of 1211 and spread it across 27 operators, it came out at around $32,700 in that ballpark. So you would basically look at the monies that if we could indeed transfer those Oak Rehab, covering those very legitimate expenditures that went against the unassigned vending income, and put them into Voc Rehab, and we have federal guidance that says that that's an allowable category, then that might be an approach to take. And so I just, Frank, I guess I'll turn it back to you. The only other thing I'll talk about just real fast, because you had asked me, so I may as well cover it all at once, and then you can open up for discussion, is on the fair minimum, which in our state, we use the incentive plan model. And I looked at the regulations, and the regulations are very clear. Those payments occur in October and April. So the April money, Ed, is already processed. Some of you may have already gotten your checks. The next money would not be cut till October, and the regulations also prescribe how those monies are calculated. So, for instance, if you only made $500 because your location shut down in February, so you made only $500 between January and June, then the most the agency could provide you with was the matching of that $500, and you wouldn't see it till October. Now, you may have seen that there's been some requests from the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, as well as the Randolph Shepherd Association of America, to ask RSA to waive the requirement that they have to approve a change. But we still have in our state regulations the prescriptive nature of how those monies get calculated. So that would probably be something that would require requesting to see if there was an executive order that we could obtain to allow for that regulation to be suspended due to the COVID-19. But that is not a process that we'd be able to even presume would come to fruition. We don't know, but I just wanted you to know that we did research that, and that's what we found. So, Frank, with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, I guess I only have one follow-up question to that. When we have a vote of the entire, all the operators, do we just have to have the majority of the vote, or do we have to be all on one side?
Just as majority, so usually that would mean a simple majority.
Okay.
Which would mean
51. I have a question also.
This is Andrew Norton. If you have such a vote, of course you should make voting available to every one of the operators, but if someone just doesn't get back to you, they don't get back to you. But 14 yes votes would carry the motion if there's 27 of you.
I also have a question. In regards to the let's say $1,200 payment, that would also include the operators that are still working but have been affected by their income going down, right? They would not be left behind, right?
This
everybody would get this payment, so to speak.
This would be everybody. What you would be basically saying in this regard is that because we're not going to provide a field rep to give you 1 week off this year, because most of you are closed, all of you are closed, we're instead going to take the cash equivalent of that and give you that instead. Which there's a direct...
Okay, I just want to make sure everybody's included.
Yes, but there's a direct line by being able to say under normal circumstances, we send you a field rep for a week and you take a week off. This year we're not going to send you a field rep, so you take a week off with a field rep covering. You can still take a week off, but it won't be with a field rep this year. We're going to give you the cash equivalent. And that's how we can say, in essence, everybody gets the same amount. If that's the way you want to go, you could also go from the standpoint of the other approach, which is we take what you actually earned last year, divide it by 52, and we give you that 1 week's worth of earnings, which again, you know, that's quite a wide range. But it's up to the committee what you want to put forward. I just wanted to give you a couple ideas. And the idea about the $1,200 also lines that up to pretty much parallel the stimulus amount. So you also have that.
I have one more question or comment, or that maybe Andrew can confirm or whatever. If we do get again, I'm just going to use the $1,200 number because it's easy. If we do get that $1,200 vacation pay, quote unquote, we would have to claim that at the end of the year as income, correct?
Yes, the federal government likes you to claim all income. I can't. You win $24 in lottery tickets, you should declare that. If someone pays you $5 to take their mail into the house, you should declare that. They like to know about all income. Now, whether or not you can achieve, that's a very good question. They want to know about every dollar you make in any way.
This is Shelley. So, Andrew, not saying you're an accountant, so this means this money is taxable.
Yes.
It's okay. Subject to the possibility of taxation. You may have deductions that
cancel it out, but it's still supposed to be. Right, okay.
Yeah, it's on the income ledger. You may have enough deductions to zero it out, but it's on the income ledger. This would not have some special exemption because we're the United States Congress and it's Corona relief, and no, this wouldn't have that.
Okay.
$1,200 to buy a fryer later, that'd be different.
This is that any payment that we make out, whether it be commissions or vacation or anything, should come on a 1099 form from the comptroller's office at the end of the year.
Okay. This is Shelley again. One other question, Brian. So, in hypothetically speaking, the committee votes on this and it passes, and we go, like Brandy said, the $1,200 route. How soon could people expect these monies to be dispersed to them, hypothetically?
I would have to say that depending on how fast it gets out, how long you give each of the committee members to respond with a vote, whatever your motion looks like. Let's say that if your motion is that you will your recommendation and they can vote yes or no, so it's just one choice, maybe it's a two-week turnaround, then we have the answer. If you've already motioned that we go with that answer, whatever it is, then we submit the paperwork to process the payments, and you're probably talking about a two-week turnaround for a check to get there. So all in all, it's possibly about a month from when you say send it out to every operator to when people start receiving checks, be my guess.
One other question. So this going through, Shelley again, this going through no matter what time we essentially, or the state gets back up and running, slowly but surely, hopefully, safely. So if we pass this now and the governor makes his executive order, that slowly but surely we start returning back to work. Or, you know, the state on a mass whole starts going back, even if it's incrementally depending on agencies or the kind of stores, whatever the case may be. This is already put forth.
Yeah.
There's no turning back.
We're going to make a motion. It's
we're giving up our vacation. Well, if that's the move that we're going to take.
Yeah, you're really not giving up your vacation.
You can get the vacation. No coverage from Besby is what we're giving up.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what you're actually doing is because the sites are not available.
Open. Right.
You can't really take a vacation from a site you can't go to. And in the sites that are open, they're so seriously reduced in the number of occupants that, I feel that... You could certainly pass a motion, I believe, that clearly explains that, even a site that's open, I think that the populations are so diminished.
Yeah.
And the income is such that even if there was a returning to and public occupancy starting to resume what it was, you're not going to be in a position to recover what you've lost. You'll pick it up from there in a phased-in way, but, we don't even know, once buildings open, are they going to allow salad bars again? Are they going to allow, kind of like open foods where somebody's serving it, or will it all have to be pre-sealed? We don't have answers to any of this yet, so I think that there's no direct correlation. Okay, so if government returns to normal on June 1st and these checks are cut June 2nd, will your check be in jeopardy? I don't believe there's any correlation between those two. This is money that we would be providing in lieu of providing you the equivalent value of that field rep being at your site for. Again, I think that makes it a very straight line connection to where did that figure come from and why is it that figure and why are we doing it? And I think that all of those things are answered in that particular model. But that's not the only model. I told you there's this other model about, taking what each person made and dividing it by 52 and give everyone the equivalent of that. That's a model as well. And there's other models that people could consider, but I just wanted to give you what at least I looked at. I understood you all wanted me to give you something.
This is great. Go ahead.
Oops,
sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Brandy.
I just wanted to say, I was on the call the other night, and most agencies, that was actually one of their recommendations as to ways to find their money and how they found the money to give operators. And most places gave, it was $1,000 with most of the 18 states that spoke up. Us in Minnesota were the only two who hadn't done anything yet. And the other states, it was about $1,000 was the bare minimum that they decided to give to each operator, whether they were out of business or not out of business, since everybody's business is directly negatively affected. So I personally think that the $1,200 payment is a great idea. That's just my opinion.
This is Shelley, Brian, everyone on the line. I had a question, Brian. So then, since you presented those two to us, is it the committee then supposed to vote on which one we want to go forth on and then vote on that one? Or we just have a vote to how are we supposed to proceed the next step? Vote on which one we'd like to present to the whole BP program? Be first?
Well, I guess the answer I would give you, and I would have to defer to Frank to make that decision of what he'd be seeking for a motion, and then you'd all decide if you want a motion on that or not. You could send out there to everyone to vote, here's two ideas. Pick one, other, or write in your own. You could do that. You could say the committee decided we would like this idea. Vote yes or vote no, and then you go with that. You all on this call say thank you for those great ideas, but Brian, we'd like to see it done this way, and then you all vote on that, and that's what goes out for vote. So it's whatever you decide you want to put out there.
I have one more question.
I would just like to chime in as a person who's been involved in a lot of elections and votes, that keeping it simplest, like yes or no, is, if you can do it, the best way to have. You want Trump or Clinton, that's just the easiest way to measure, because if you have three choices, then the person voting, the 27 vendors, might say, well, wait, what about this and what about that? And I got a question and I got a this and I got...
You don't have to do that.
But it is simplest if people get given yes or no. It works out better generally.
I have another... So my other question is, you said we need 14 to get to pass. So if we put a 2 week, which I think maybe we should do a 1 week, time limits to respond, and we get 14 or 15 yeses before that time, does that mean we can just go forward? And or if we have 15 people on this call right now that all say yes, yeah, can we go forward?
But no, but not everyone is online. It said all.
But we
all have to have the opportunity to actually view it, though.
Yeah, I would agree with what Shelley just said. The regulations say that it has to be voted on by all. So if everyone was on the call and we could do a roll call vote, then you could say, yes, everyone had a chance to vote. But because we don't have everyone on the phone, we can't fulfill the regulation by the fact I'd be 15 voting people on the call because there's 14 who aren't.
So we can make it a week, right? We can make it a week.
Well, what if we vote and then give them a chance to answer?
Andrew, you're kind of like the Robert.
Yeah, I would say that when I read the regulation, I think once you get to 14, doesn't mean you shouldn't collect every vote. But if I were to advise Ed or Brian and they were getting votes, let's say you didn't mail it or you had all the reps calling everyone, whatever it is you did, I want an email, however you did it, once you got to 14, I would advise Brian and Ed that they may proceed. Don't close down the vote because you should have the whole vote. But once you got to 14, you're winning, and I would tell them that they can proceed with whatever their next step was. I think that you could start asking for people's votes now. I would think that you'd want to get that by name. You know, hi, I'm Sally, yes, I'm Bill, no. And then it would be the duty of Ed and his staff, or however they do it, to then hit everyone up for their vote. But I think once you get to 14, you can start moving to step two.
Okay, so let me ask one last question before I make this suggestion of calling for a vote. In this substitution of having a field rep cover a vacation for us, has there been any operators that have already taken their vacation this year? Ed, do you have that answer?
You're asking, has anybody taken any time off yet? Has requested, written in for a vacation? If you're talking calendar 20, which right. We're in, remember we went out in March earlier. Yeah. No one's taken any vacation.
Okay, that makes it easy.
Okay.
So does someone want to make a motion on which route we want to take on this?
I shall make a motion that we go the route of the substituting the vacation pay of the field rep to a stimulus package for the BEP program.
I bring in that motion.
Okay, so we have a second. So let's have Ed go down the list of people
that have stepped in. One second, because what I heard was a motion to have it be a stimulus package, and that's really not what this is. This is a taking what the equivalent of the field rep's week of vacation coverage would be as value to the program, and in lieu of that, providing the equivalent in cash value of $1,200, I think. Oh, I don't know how
yes,
to turn those.
Exactly like, what Brian the Magnificent has said. That.
I just want to be clear because an incentive takes on a whole different
Yeah, it takes on a whole different light. You're absolutely correct.
Holly, I don't know if you want to, you know, I guess, Andrew, does she need to withdraw and then resubmit a motion? I don't know. You tell me, because you're our politerian, whatever.
Was there a second already?
Yes, there was.
I would simply ask the mover and the seconder to withdraw their motion in their second.
Okay.
I withdraw
my motion also.
And I think it sounds like the motion is that the BEP program will pay $1,211 to each eligible operator, which is all of them except for the one who resigned, and to in lieu of the 1 week of vacation support offered by the BEP field rep during the course of 2020. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did, Andrew Norton. Yes, that's exactly what.
Yeah.
So, Shelley, I don't know if you would have to say that that's your motion, if that's what you wanted it to be.
Yes, that's my motion. I'd like to reiterate exactly what Andrew Norton has just stated.
And I second the motion, Barbara Miller.
Oh, Barbara, you're not.
I also second the motion.
Oh, I'm not on the committee, but I second that.
Committee member.
Okay. Who is the second on here?
Steve Hillier, I'll second it.
Steve Hillier, okay.
So now I guess it's open for discussion, Frank, if you want it for discussion.
Yeah, would there be any discussion on this, or can we move forward with going down the list and for yeses and noes?
No, I think how to do, Frank, is first your committee has to vote the motion.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Committee has to vote the motion.
Is there any discussion, any other ways someone else wants to go about this?
All right, so
committee only. If you're in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Against the motion, say no.
No. And
any opposed? Angel Torres says no.
Yes, I said no.
Okay. Any abstentions? No. Now, Angel, you don't want to discuss this any further?
You like the other one?
I would like to go the other way. Divided in 52, and I think besides me, a few of other operators will also like it that way.
So are we opening this up for discussion,
yeah,
or
why?
Is it just
I just to say you already had the vote. You can discuss it, but the vote has been completed.
Yeah, the vote's been completed. It's 5 points. But okay, so
you
Ed,
talk about anything
would
you
like to go down? Would Ed like to go down the list for
okay.
yes or no?
So I'm going to say the vote passes 5-1.
That's right. That's what I needed to go on the record. Is that correct? The vote passed 5-1.
Yeah. Chad still isn't here, right? Okay, then there's six operators, so it'll be 5-1. Is that Chad?
Yeah, I'm here, Ed.
Okay.
I just joined a few minutes ago.
Well, there's only six voting members, so it's still 5-1. It's just the alternate doesn't vote. Correct, Ed?
No, there's seven voting members.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go give each committee member a yes-no vote. So if,
a vote by
if
name.
We want to make sure that we're clear. It seems we only got six of the seven.
Well, just ask, is anyone who voted yes on the committee wanting to, you know, well, they already voted yes.
Yes.
When they took the roll, when they took the voice vote, did any one of the committee other than Angel wish to vote against it?
Yeah. I would say it passes 6-1.
So, Frank, I guess if you want to have some further discussion, you certainly can. You're the chair.
I'm sorry, can I jump in? I don't think the regulation doesn't prescribe a method of voting. So if you have any operators on the line now who's willing to say, I, John Jones, vote yes on the board's resolution, you can now check that off your list, and you'll have many fewer people you'll need to contact after the call.
I would agree with that. I just feel that the regulation would require that everybody has a chance to vote. If you vote on this call and you're registering your vote on this call, I don't think that you're required to then re-vote. But we still can't say that the people that weren't on this call should be excluded just because you reached for it. I think that the regulations say everybody. Now, you know.
Brian, I have a question. Is there going to be a grace period where they get to decide, or it's just to ask the question and they say yeah and nay right then and there for the people who are not on the line?
I suspect what will end up happening is that Ed will put an email out to those who haven't voice voted. Some people may not want a voice vote on this call, and I think that you've had one no vote so far. You may have other no votes, and there may be people that feel, I'm not wishing to vote vocally, especially in the meeting where there's going to be a transcript. So maybe I know you want to be expedient about it, but to be fair, and I mean to be fair to those who maybe wish to cast no vote, it says that, each vendor has been furnished with information on the. So they need to have every vendor furnished. So you may really want to think about if there's a vendor on this call right now who feels they want to vote no, are you putting them in a very difficult position?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, then they don't have to vote, well, their silence could be, construed as a no vote, which could put them in a difficult situation. So I think you potentially want to allow everybody to receive the information, to then cast within a reasonable amount of time, and then once we hit 14, I agree with Andrew, once you hit 14, you have your majority.
Yeah.
I have a question. Can we stipulate, this is Shelley again, can we stipulate the, recently, I know Ed called around before all this happened to ask about Rocky Neck, and I think he gave 3 days. Can we just use that as a standard or turnaround time?
3 days?
I think that to make a decision if you... I'm sorry. I was just... a few months ago when Ed was looking for someone to take over Rocky Neck, if I'm not mistaken, is there a 3-day period that someone gets to mull that over?
Yes, that's part of our reg.
Right, so I'm saying, can we just use that as a model for people to kind of mull it over also?
I really don't think there's going to be much time wasted on a vote.
Okay.
Yeah. When you call somebody up and ask them if they want $1,200, I don't think they're going to take 3 days.
Right.
Let's do this. Anybody on the line right now that wants to vote, just as soon as we hang up on this phone call or during this phone call, if you want, just email your vote to Ed Owen. Or call him. But, he's at home anyway. So,
place my vote.
I would, Frank, just so it's nice and clean, because you may end up having some other no votes, and I think in fairness, get an email out. It can go out tomorrow. Let's give people 3 business days.
Right.
So vote would be closed on Wednesday of next week. That gives everybody 5 calendar days, but 3 business days for those who maybe don't email over the weekend. and then by certainly closes the business next Wednesday or sooner, because if Ed gets 14 yeses by Tuesday or by Monday for that matter, then
or by 6 o'clock.
Yeah, he hits a 14. But what you don't want to do is be perceived as excluding the opportunity for somebody to receive
it. Exactly.
Deliberate on it and to vote on it. And so,
yeah.
You know, I think we just need to be respectful of the process. I know people are urgently needing the money, but we also need to be able to document that a process was followed. Because this is very unusual. We've never done this before.
Correct.
Can I just ask a question for Ed's purposes? Are you accepting for the second vote the actual members, the six members of the committee who voted already, or will Ed poll them as well?
I guess I'd rather answer that. The committee voted to put this out for vote, so now we'll put it out for vote, in which case the committee members are going to have the same right to vote on what the committee put out there. That makes sense. They're not voting right now as operators. They voted now as a committee. Then the committee put the vote out. So now they get the vote as an operator, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Chris.
Okay.
And any of us vote now?
Listen, all you did as a committee was vote for vote. That's all you did was you voted to put it out for vote.
Right, so if you want to move forward, people can go ahead and cast their vote. They're already decided. You don't need to wait your 5 days or your 5 calendar days. I think we can go ahead and start.
To speak to what Steve just asked, can somebody who voted yes saying, yes, I vote to put it out to vote, once I now get to cast my vote, can I vote no? Yes, you can choose
yes,
to
you
vote
can.
No. Because all you've done as a committee is you weighed your options and you decided to vote to put out to the membership of 27 operators this motion, saying, are you in favor of doing it this way, yes or no? So just because you voted yes to say put this out for 27 people to vote on doesn't mean you're obligated to cast vote one way or the other once you get to cast your vote on do you want to do this.
Correct.
You didn't vote today to do it. All you voted today to do was put it out there for the committee to vote on.
All right.
I'm sorry. Ed is actually not working tomorrow. So I wanted
to... I'll take care of it. No, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Take care. You know, folks, you guys are going to really miss Ed.
Yes, we are. Ed, you are awesome. You're so awesome.
I was on vacation this week. I haven't taken an hour off yet.
Oh, yeah. This poor man. I mean, honestly, God, he is so dedicated to this program. So, thank you, Ed. So, you all 27 people are going to get an email, and when he gets back from his vacation, right, Ed?
Who says I'm coming back?
I can't wait.
All right, so there's that agenda item. There was, we did do some field rep assignments, and I guess, you know, we're not going to go down the list of all 27 operators, but Ed, you can explain kind of how we've divvied it up.
Here's what we did. We have two new field reps. Joel is on the line with us today, and Jesse's going to be starting actually tomorrow is going to be her first day. I took the field rep assignments. Now think back to when Nick and Tina were here, and I kept Dave and Nick the same to the facilities they were originally signed to. And let me think, Joelle has Tina's list and Jesse's going to have Nick's list. If an operator was dealing with two different field reps because of the locations of their facilities, they're all under one field rep now because the emphasis right now is just to be in contact with them and provide information.
Yeah.
So
For now, this is the list. The field reps are going to be reaching out to every operator to find out what status they're at, if they've applied for any unemployment, or if they have any questions. And so, as we go to open up, eventually there might be some readjustments. But for now, that's how the alignment works out.
Anyone have any questions?
So, excuse me.
I'm sorry. This is
Barbara Miller. Ed, did you say Nick is not there anymore? Nick Banzer?
No, Nick Palermo's not
Palermo,
here.
Palermo.
Nick Bienza is alive and well with us.
How you doing?
How you feeling, Nick?
I miss you, Bob.
Are we going to vote or no? All the whether we are operators or not, our committee members, are we going to vote now?
No, you're going to receive an email from Ed, and from there you will vote, reply to Ed's email and vote.
Okay, then.
What's going to happen to the operators that have Craig as their field rep?
Oh, yeah.
No, that was switched before. Craig was out of the mix. The last field rep assignment was just to the four field reps when the two Nicks, Dave and Tina, were here. It was already reassigned from Craig.
So whoever you got right now.
Okay.
And you'll know soon enough, because all of the field reps are being charged with reaching out to everyone assigned to them. You would be getting a phone call from kind of like a check-in, how's things going? Have you figured out, what you want to apply for? Do you have any questions? Do you need any assistance from me to help you kind of sort out what you're looking to get sorted out? Certainly when your location gets ready to reopen, there's going to be questions around inventory. And by the way, I'm sure that many of you have seen this. The Rehab Services Administration is being asked whether or not we would be allowed to provide additional inventories, since you all had your inventories perish. So, as a federal, I was just on a call today with them. They acknowledge, they know that's a question that has been asked of them, and they're going to be issuing out some guidance, because this has nationally hit everybody that, your inventories have been, again, perished.
Expired.
Yeah, so we're looking to see if possibilities around that, and then I would certainly be asking whether or not we could utilize vocational rehabilitation dollars for that, to recognize that the business enterprise funding is strained, because Voc Rehab is allowed to do initial inventories, but we're looking to see if they would be willing to issue a waiver of that to allow for a greater flexibility given what happens. Stay tuned. That's with them. That's with the federal government right now.
Okay.
All right, if we move on to the next item on the agenda, it says Labor Department gift store. For years, we had a Labor Department, want to call it a candy store, magazine shop, gift store downstairs in the basement. Well, not the basement, the opening level before you go up to the cafeteria. It started out on one side of the hall, a massive location, and now it's a little room over on the other side. We had the same manager there for the last 33 years, and the operator has retired. So the question, whenever an operator retires, we bring it before the committee to ask if there's any consideration of finding another operator for that location. I will tell you without question, your answer should be no, because that facility, due to the decline in population in the building, and also there's a micro market up on the second floor where the cafeteria used to be, consider that At once, there was a thriving cafeteria up on the second floor, which is downsized to a micro market. It has actually devastated the sales at the candy store downstairs. So I don't think it's a viable location for any operator.
I would definitely agree with that, Ed, being that when I was there, he wasn't doing very well even when I was there. So now I don't think it's viable to keep that location open.
I'll vote no.
Is that a motion?
I put that in motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Is that Dave?
Yes, Dave.
Yes, yeah. Steve.
Okay.
Sorry. Now, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any other abstentions besides myself? Motion carries.
I would just say extend a congratulations to Kevin. He well deserved. He's put a lot of time in over there. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He was the first operator that came when I first joined the program.
Wow, really?
He's an interesting in himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he had like 33 years or so. 35 years.
Yeah. Adjournment time, Mr. Chair.
I just want to get, not to put him on the spot, but if Joel is still on the phone, if he could introduce himself and let us know where he came from and whatever else, if he's still with us.
Yes, I am. Hi, my name's Joel Garcia. I'm from Manchester, Connecticut. I was born in Puerto Rico, but I have since found myself in Connecticut. I've graduated from Manchester High School in 2004. I've had my opportunity to articulate myself all the way through Manchester Community College, with an associate's degree through food service management and culinary arts. I've been in multiple different aspects of all food service industry at this point, and I'm so happy to be able to be on board. And I've had a couple of people reach out to me at this point, which I completely appreciate, and all I want to be able to do is just like contribute to this team in which we have going on.
All right, so I'll call for it's nice to have you on board, Doyle, and I'll just call for a motion to adjourn.
Sure.
Discussion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Brady.
Do I have a second?
I'll second. Chad.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say no. All right, thank you all for calling in.
Have a good evening.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Hey.
Bye, everybody.